Hi everyone. I am Yujin from Kingston University, London. I would like to thank you all for your time today, and I am really honored to be able to present my paper here at the KSCC about Korean cinema as the hub of memoir. So I am currently working on my PhD paper focusing on Korean cinema based on or inspired by true historical events, specifically addressing the Gwangju democratization movements. The cultural impact of Korean films these days has tremendously influenced the worldwide society following the success of Parasite, Minari, Decision to Live, and so on, which all proved the consistency of Korean cultural contents, the basis of social consensus, which had also influenced audiences from different cultural backgrounds. I have started my journey as a PhD in October 2019 and witnessed the growth of Korean cinema since then at an international level due to the supply of global OTT platforms such as Netflix and many others that have been investigating to various Korean films and also television series which reflect the dark sides of Korean communal system, referring to the political corruption, tribal system, and the school bullying based on true incidents. These cinematic and TV productions ultimately arose and evoked sympathy from the public audience, resulting in media reports in terms of re-examination of the incidents. Overcoming the language barriers, Korean films resulted in the union and unity of the universal feeling. This results from decades of protest movements, which put the strict censorship to an end. The social critique among Korean filmmakers had always been considered as a threat to the government in the Korean modern society. One of the remarkable features that Korean cinema retains is its active use of historical and political images, which characterize the modern Korean society. Korean film has a strong inclination to expose governmental corruption and historical misrepresentation within its narrative structure. And there are a few examples of these kind of films, and Seoul-e Bom, which is recently released, will also be released in Australia on the 7th of December, I think. So yeah, if you might be interested in this film, yeah. This from my thesis analysis, this is due to the foundation of Minjung movement, which provides strong social bonding in Korean society, the loss of historical tangibility and official records, and finally cultural values in terms of liquidity and mobility. I will go into more details later in the presentation about these three aspects. History shows its value as a contemporary meaning, and the story of Gwangju has not yet ended until today. Gwangju Democratic Movements is a popular uprising which happened in the city of Gwangju, South Korea, from May 18 to May 27, in 1980, also referred as the Gwangju Massacre, due to the involvement of military force, which killed hundreds and thousands of innocent people, including young students of all ages. The citizens demonstrating against the martial law government were killed by the government troops during Chun Doo-hwan's unelected presidency. The authorities classified this incident as Gwangju Riot, claiming that there had been support of North Korean government and communist sympathizers. Gwangju became isolated without any press or media reporting the actual situation at that time. Truth remained uncovered for a long time. Unfortunately, this power of the new military authorities, which had ruled over the nation at that time, is not yet solved, despite the birth of democracy. The command system for the operation was recently unveiled after 43 years from 1980. The first commander who ordered the soldiers to fire at the citizens is not yet clarified, and the denial of massacre is remaining unsolved even after Chun Doo-hwan's death in 2021. This means that the memories of Gwangju are still alive, unsolved, left behind the truth under the veil of historical and political turmoil. The Gwangju Democratic Movement, which is also referred as 5.18 in Korean, meaning the 18th of May, should be considered the Korea of today, which had built the present not as a piece of the past history residing only in textbooks. It is rather an ongoing story of the actual people, our neighbors and our ordinary heroes who can be found in the everyday life. From May 17 to May 27, Gwangju was in total isolation for 10 days. The conflict between the military forces and the Gwangju citizens escalated, but other regions had no clue about this tragic incident at that time. Long-distance phone service in Gwangju was halted, and the media and the broadcasting stations were all controlled by the government, which has misreported the situation in Gwangju. Plus, the army blocked all routes and communications from inside and outside of the city. Gwangju, opposing the nationwide martial law at the time, was targeted by John Doohan's authoritarian regime as the political sacrifice. So, based on real-life story, a taxi driver, this film is about an ordinary man, Kim Man-seop, working as a taxi driver in Seoul, a debt-laden widower who has to look after his young daughter. At the beginning of the story, Kim is depicted as an outsider who feels reluctant about the protest. However, things gradually change when he meets a German journalist client named Wolfgang Peter Hinspetter, who is willing to report on the increasing civil unrest in Gwangju. A taxi driver was released in August 2017 after the withdrawal of excessive power as a result of the candlelight rallies in March. Attracting over 10 million viewers, the film achieved success by riding a wave of resistance and democracy. The film sophisticatedly depicts the entirety of the historical narrative and evokes sympathy for its wounded. According to Park Jae-in, individuals who were not directly implicated in the incidents, such as the May 18, initially experienced an avoidance instinct, striving to distance themselves from the tragedy when they recall it. A taxi driver, however, establishes the main character as an ordinary yet Gwangju outsider, immersing us in the situation via the narrative's transformation. This film indeed has prompted the general public to contemplate our way of life after the May 18, our approach to the history, and our appropriate reactions to it. As previously stated in the introduction of my presentation, there are three fundamental components that comprise the distinctive features of contemporary Korean cinema. The first element that I wish to elaborate upon is the characteristic of Minjung centralism, which influenced the communal structure of the nation. The term Minjung has been generally referred to common people in Korea. However, in historical and political context, this term indicates the counter-hegemonic masses or those who are oppressed in the social-political system but who are capable of rising up against it. The ideas of National Minjung Revolution were expanded by Baek Ki-won, the leading figure of the progressive and democratization movement, a unification activist who also worked as a poet and writer of Minjung. He induces his Minjung revolutionism from his real-life experiences since his childhood, which the then Minjung, common people, share, altogether suffering from poverty and oppression but staying stubbornly resistant. Language, custom, and history treated as what confirms indigenousness of something national are outcomes of what Minjung incessantly directs and decides on its own. And that nation is a historical being formed, determined, and changed along with historical changes. As a result, Baek asserts that the essence of nationalism remains in harmony with the existence and historical advancement of the Minjung. The political environment significantly influenced the artistic formation, which in turn shaped the form of May 18 representation. The Gwangju Democratic Movements marked a significant milestone in Korean cinema alongside the student movements and popular activists. This suggests that the establishment of Minjung cinema was influenced by the emergence of democracy and the cultural revolution in the country. A popular art movement is what Minjung cinema is, which signifies a cinematic expression that advocates for the awakening, resistance, and unity of the people, Minjung, in their quest for self-recovery. This signifies that a turning point in Korean cinematic history occurred during the 1970s and 1980s, when democratic movements and independent filmmakers slowly established Minjung cinema. Film serves to indicate the coexistence and non-existence of an object or a being which has vanished at some point from the camera's field of view. The camera's gaze represents the temporality of memory and simultaneously reveals and conceals the suppressed historical truth. This distinguishes film from other forms of art and creates a sense of interplay between the medium and the subject matter. Due to the limited sources of availability, many curators in Korea have experienced difficulties in displaying Korean cultural objects in an exhibition. In this context, contemporary Korean cinema had somehow acted as communicative tools, replacing the lack of this tangibility. Historical reconstruction and representation built by Korean cinema through the camera's eye can be considered as an alternative of an official historical record. Film, as a recovery of lost history, has become a living proof of the past, portraying not only important figures, but also ordinary people surrounding us. In this sense, the synergy combined by individual narratives, cultural memories, and historical background all result in the Minjung spirit through collective process. And the memoir conveyed in oral history that are delivered by individuals have to be presented and recorded in different ways. As Sturken pointed out, memory forms the fabric of human life, affecting everything from the ability to perform simple, everyday tasks to the recognition of the self. Memory establishes life's continuity. It gives meaning to the present as each moment is constituted by the past. As the means by which we remember who we are, memory provides the very core of identity. In this regard, cinema is a great way to preserve cultural memories through a collective process. Filling in the gaps, Korean cinema has effectively restored the unrecorded lost history as a form of documentary and replaced the lack of documentation from previous tangible collection. Its digital interactivity for delivering multifarious key messages can be collected under one thematic topic when organizing a storytelling. The combination of technology and authentic stories of the objects is also considered as the key to the success of interaction. From this point of view, we can see that film is a successful communicative tool that could reach the international public audience without any interference of language and physical barriers. If art was previously limited to a particular social class in the past, a democratic version of cinema has become a new art form available to all social classes. According to Bauman, for power to be free to flow, the world must be free of fences, barriers, fortified borders, and checkpoints, where the powers are liquidized, changing the shape of society from macro to micro level. As he insisted, in modern society, everything is down to the individual. People as an individual find ideas from their surroundings. The absence of the storyteller's authority, her not being a celebrity, his anonymity may make the example easier to follow and so may have a value-adding potential of its own, as Bauman said. In this sense, contemporary Korean cinema successfully captures public sympathy while targeting personal memories accompanied by historical narratives based on true story of ordinary people as an individual. The liquidizing powers in film as popular culture, with no boundaries and no limits in space and time, attempted to approach the public audience one by one, delivering an example easier to follow, as Bauman pointed out. This collective process eventually resulted in the power of Minjung, which collected everyone's desire towards democracy. When I joined an internship program at the May 18 Memorial Foundation, I began to dive into the heart of Gwangju. Around April 2021, I relocated from Kingston to Gwangju to begin a new adventure as the foundation's international intern for 5 months. My views on the May 18 uprising have evolved significantly since then. I began to love the city, not just academically, but earnestly by heart, understanding people's real life stories, not only inside Gwangju, but outside of the city as well. At that time, when I joined the internship program, I had a chance to experience different activities, symposiums, and works done by the foundation. And that was during the protest led by Thailand the reform of the monarchy and Myanmar in opposition to the coup d'etat, and it's still going on in Myanmar as well. And one of the projects organized by the foundation is called the May 18 Global Project, which supports the democracy around the world, the grassroots projects promoting the spread of the May 18 spirit. So there had been an interview led by the Gwangju MBC campaign with Min Geun-hyun, the leading Burmese democracy activist at that time, where he claimed that a taxi driver had successfully delivered the political struggles of Gwangju in 1980. During this interview, he added that the film encouraged people from Myanmar for the democratic spring amid their own political crisis. This is when I realized the actual field where people are fighting for their rights and freedom, and the power of a film production which could change people's perspectives, those who are not directly related to the national history but in similar situations across the borders. It is notable that Min Jung embodies universal qualities and distinctive attributes of particular ethno-nation. The phenomenon of production monopoly and concentration is transnational in nature. It effectively shapes various Minjungs with homogeneous universalities in global terms, geographic, socioeconomic, and cultural variation, as well as linguistic and cultural variation, are characteristics of the universalized Minjungs during a period of monopolistic capitalism, as Peck noted, which ought to be acknowledged as different modes of existence. Sharing of the May 18 spirit will definitely inspire many people around the globe with similar experiences in the world, healing their wounds which had been neglected and ignored in the midst of ethical loneliness. Thus, it is important for cinema to carefully listen to those who are not heard and seen in this historical progress. So, to conclude, during my PhD journey and internship at the May 18 Memorial Foundation, I realized that the role of cinema and popular culture is extremely important, more than I have thought. Korean films, as the foundation of Minjung cinema, successfully liquidized intangible individual stories or unofficial history through collective process, reaching out the international audience while overcoming the barriers. I believe in the potential of Korean cinema, which could imply people's unheard and unseen personal memories in order to redeem ethical loneliness. With this continual interaction with the public, cinema might operate as a mediator, exposing and eradicating the current wound and preventing a more severe problem. We have to keep the dialogue alive. We would be able to recreate our history, emphasize the present, and open a new path to the future by doing so. Our today should be concerned with the relationship between group and an individual, as well as a unified community with a feeling of communal connection. This fluidity ultimately results from the power of many types of moving images that are not constrained by rigid time, location, or space. The public will be able to connect and communicate emotionally in this way. And that's the end of my presentation. Thank you for listening.